This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of the Bethuel, the Aramean from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban of Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were two twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright.
Ellie, let's pray together. Father, as we dig into your word today, I pray that you would teach us about blessing. Over these next several weeks, Lord, I pray that you would teach us from Jacob's messy life that looks so much like our messy lives. But today, Lord, I know there are things you want to teach us about what blessing truly is. So, Father, help us to see it and apply it to our lives. In your name, we pray. Amen. Amen. I remember when I was a little kid, my parents bought a new furniture living room set and, you know, new sofa, new coffee table, end tables. And I was a little kid. My brothers were teenagers. My sister was a baby. And like everyone thought they were nuts. You don't buy new furniture stuff when you have young kids, especially boys. And I remember the living room table and the end tables in particular was this wood frame with a glass inset. It's like, are you crazy? Do you know what we do when you're not here? Like, we played hockey in the living room when they were there. We played tennis. It's not like it was a huge living room, but we still did it. But they bought it, so they deserve what they got, don't they? We never broke the glass, but I remember all the time my one brother, I won't say which one, would always scratch his athlete's foot on the edge of the table. And like all of us, we'd like put our feet up and it was like, "Don't put your foot on the table, you're ruining the table." And the line, you've probably said it if you have kids or pets, was always, "This is why we can't have nice things, because it just gets destroyed and ruined." I remember there was a blanket that I loved and one of my brothers loved too. There had been two of them, but one got ruined and destroyed. But this one we both loved and we were arguing about it and like pulling on it and we ripped it. And again, it's like, this is why we can't have nice things, because we end up abusing and misusing the things we don't value, and then we end up abusing and misusing each other over the things we value too much. Take that out to a big picture of life and this life God has blessed us with, and think about it from that perspective. We turn it into a tangled web when we either abuse it because we don't value it appropriately, or we abuse each other because we overvalue certain bits of it. And here's the big picture I think God's word has for us this morning to wrestle with. God has been trying to bless us since the beginning, and we keep doing things that get in the way of God's work to bless us. And yet God never quits in his intention and his work to untangle the mess that we've made and turn it into a blessing.
That's what these next several weeks are going to be about. But in particular, we're going to dig in today. Let's start with that whole idea that God intends to bless us, because not a whole lot of people believe that. Do you? Do you believe that God intends to bless you in spite of all the things that happen and go on in this world? Earthquakes that now have killed, in the last few days, getting close to 30,000 was the last number I saw. In the face of that, in the face of sickness or trouble you go through or someone you love goes through, do you believe God's intention is to bless you? Because a lot of people don't. A lot of people think God couldn't care less. That God either doesn't love us
or he's not all powerful, because he can't be both. If he were, then this wouldn't be this way. I think one of the first things we've got to do is understand what the Bible is talking about when it talks about God's blessing. We've got to get that clear. So I want to do this morning is just take a few minutes and go back to the very beginning, and let's connect the dots and see if we can draw a line and see what God's blessing truly is. Instead of listening to, you know, everyone else talk about blessing, oh, this is what it means to be blessed, and that's what it means to be blessed, and oh, God, bless me with this. Instead of that stuff, let's dig into God's word and understand blessing. So go to Genesis chapter 1. If you're in the notes, it's there for you. If you got your own Bible, open it up to Genesis chapter 1. Zoom to the end of Moses' presentation of God's bringing order to all creation, and you get to verse 26, and this is what God says when it comes time for us, for humanity. He says, God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. That's one of the reasons we recognize God is Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God speaks this way of himself because he exists in relationship. So that's why we use this Trinity thing, because there's God saying, let us make mankind in our image. And so he makes us to be like him and have rule over the fish, the birds, the livestock, to rule over creation, to take care of it is what that means. Not just, oh, I'll make it do what I want. It's to take care of it. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. Well, how did God bless them? What does that mean? Let's look. Here's what it means. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Take care of it. Rule, take care of the fish, the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be your food. So just drawing from that picture that Scripture paints for us, how would we define God's blessing? I think there are three parts there. The first one is provision. God says, here's what you need to live. Here's all the food you need. I provide it for you. Here it is. Then there's this calling. Calling. Calling to what? To take care of, to rule, to exercise dominion over all of creation. And then there's this sense of purpose. What's the sense of purpose? To be like God. He made us in his image. So God's blessing, I don't know what you have in your mind when I say God's blessing. I see people post stuff online. Look at my new Mercedes, blessed. You know, look at my, I got a new job, I'm so blessed. Or I found $100, I'm so blessed. I got into the school I wanted to get into, I'm so blessed. I know we have a lot of ideas about blessing, but when Bible talks about blessing, when God talks about what's he saying, God's blessing is that he gives us what we need to do what we're here to do and to become who we were made to be, to become like him. That's God's blessing, to become like him, do what he does, and he gives us everything we need to do that. So that's how it starts in the beginning. Now fast forward a bunch of years and we know what happens. Humanity makes two mistakes. They either don't value God's blessing at all and just ignore it and chase after other stuff, or they overvalue certain things and chase after them in wrong ways and try and grab hold of God's little blessings without grabbing hold of God and rejecting God and leaving God out. But God still doesn't quit on them. God instead calls a guy named Abraham. We preached a whole series about him last year. This is actually the continuation from that series, because Jacob and Esau are his grandsons. God calls Abraham and says, you come here. And this is the promise he makes to him, Genesis 12. He says, I am gonna make you into a great nation and I will bless you. With what? I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Too often when we think of blessing, we think of what we get that others don't get. I'm blessed when I have something unusual. This is a blessing. This blessing is what? To go be a blessing, to become someone, to carry God's name. You see, that's what God's blessing is here. It's a calling. I'm going to give you what you need to bless the world. It's a purpose. You're going to carry my name into this world. I'm going to bless the world through you. And you all, if you remember last year, you know how that went. It went okay at times. It also went really messy at times as Abraham struggled the way we do to figure out what that all means. But Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had two sons named Jacob and Esau. We just read their beginning story. Jacob's name eventually got changed into Israel. Does that sound familiar to you? And he had 12 sons, and they became the tribes of Israel, the nation of Israel. And we're going to spend these next several weeks looking at Jacob's life and all the ways he makes a mess of God's blessing. And you're going to discover, sometimes we talk about Bible characters like they're heroes. Many of them are zeros, just like you and me, who God works through in spite of all the nonsense we do. And Jacob makes a tangled mess out of God's blessing. And we see the beginnings of that today, him and his whole family. We're going to spend these weeks looking at them because what happens is Jacob, instead of valuing God's blessing, he values other things and he abuses the people around him to get other things. And so he fails to really grab hold of God's blessing. And then the nation that follows after him, that follows out of him, Israel, they do the same thing. They try and grab God's blessings for them and without really grabbing hold of God and a relationship with him. Or they just completely forget about God and don't value his blessing. But did God give up when they did that? You know the answer is no. Of course God didn't give up. God kept his promise to Abraham that out of his line, God would bless all the peoples of the earth. So he sends Jesus born to the line of Abraham among the Jews and keeps his promise to the world through Jesus. Why did Jesus come? So that I could go to heaven? No. Jesus came so that you could be blessed by God's definition and live a life that is blessed by God's definition. Jesus said, he talks about, there's all kinds of other people out there who are gonna tell you, this is the way to live, this is the way to go, and they're gonna try and lead you into all kinds of nonsense. Some of them believe what they're saying and they don't know they're leading you into trouble. Others maliciously are gonna lead you into trouble because they get some benefit from it. Jesus tells them, I am the good shepherd. I am the gateway into God's blessing. And he says in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God's blessing is a full life. Full of what? Full of what God's called us to do and to be. And so go read the Gospel of Matthew. That's your homework today. And you read those first four chapters and they all set up how Jesus is taking Israel's place in God's plan. That's the first four chapters. And then you get to chapter 5 and you have the first big teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And guess what it's about? It's about blessing. You remember the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit. There's the kingdom of God. Last week, C.S. was here and talked to us. Blessed are those who mourn. They'll be comforted. Right? All this whole list of things we call the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are meek. Because why? They will inherit the earth. Those who surrender their power to God is what he's talking about there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they will be filled. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are those who are pure-hearted in the way they treat other people, because they will see God. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. They'll be called what? Children of God. Blessed are you when you suffer for trying to live this blessed life, because that just shows you you're one of God's people, and yours is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be blessed according to Jesus? It means to be in a right relationship with God as his child, living out his calling. He wants to bless the world through us, and he wants us to be like him. That's what Jesus sets up there. And so if you understand blessing, you've got to get it from Scripture, where Jesus says that he came to give us what we need in order to do what we were made to do and be who we were made to be. We were made to bless the world and the people around us. We were made to become and live and act like God. Every conversation we have around blessing has to start there. Otherwise, what happens is it becomes a self-serving conversation about what I want to get to make me feel comfortable in this life. And we become the lowercase g God. And God becomes the dispenser of blessings that, you know, I just want God to serve. I need this, God, send it my way. And we just put the coins in the right way or the right number of coins. We'll get what we want from God. We get that perspective on God. Whenever we start the conversation about blessing, anywhere other than with what the Bible says God's blessing is, he gives us what we need to be who he made us to be and do what he called us to do. Jacob and Esau show us here today two ways that we mess this up really bad. Let's go back to their story a little bit. We're not going to be able to dig into everything with that story today, but let's focus on what's happening in their lives. Esau is a hunter. He is just a few pieces of DNA away from being a full-grown mountain gorilla. Like, this guy is born so hairy that is that human? Like, he loves to be out in the wild. This guy loves to hunt. That's what he does. Jacob, on the other hand, he prefers being in civilization. He is more tactical. He is a shepherd. He is smart and thoughtful, and he's a planner. He's an administrator. That's what he's like by nature. They're born pretty much simultaneously. Esau comes out, and then there's Jacob holding on to his heel. They are as twins can be, right? There's not even seconds really separating their births. They're born holding on to each other. And the story that Kelly read to us is the story about their birthright. So let me explain the way birthright worked for them. If you're a father and you have six sons, when you die and it's time to, or you're ready to leave them inheritance, you divide everything you have into seven pieces. You give the oldest one two pieces and the other five get one piece each. If you have three sons, you divide everything into four pieces. The oldest one gets two pieces, the rest get one piece each. In this case, how many sons does Isaac have? Two. Good, a couple of you are awake and with me. Two. So what happens? You divide it into three. Esau, born pretty much at the same time as Jacob, gets double. Twice as much as what Jacob gets. Can you imagine that might cause a little bit of strife and trouble between them? And it did. Not to mention their parents favoring them openly. We won't get into that today. So Esau's out hunting, the story goes, and obviously wasn't doing well because he stumbles back toward home famished. And the first thing he encounters is Jacob with his men. Jacob, as you know, the one overseeing his father's livestock, they'd be out in the fields. They're not home among the tent. They're out in the field, and he's most likely out there watching. He's got his men. They're taking care of the flocks. Esau comes stumbling in. The first thing he would have encountered was Jacob and his shepherds because they're out away from everything. They're out in the tent. So this isn't, I don't want you to picture Esau gets home from a long day at work, and Jacob's been sitting around doing nothing, playing video games, and mommy made him a bowl of Campbell's tomato soup, and he's there like, no, mom made it for me. I'm not sharing with you. That's you. That's not him. What Jacob has done is he's in charge of this camp. He's in charge of the stew, and Esau comes in, and he's famished, and he wants stew, and Jacob, instead of just allowing him to have some, thinks this is an opportunity, isn't it? He's hungry. He is past hungry. Let me get something out of it. So he said, what would be fair, you know, Esau? What would be a fair trade? You're obviously really, really hungry here. Let me think. I'll give you a bowl of the stew for your birthright. How does that sound? And we're not sure what this means in the end, except if Esau's birthright was a double share and Jacob's was a single share, did they just swap? Or does this mean that Jacob gets everything? Because what happens is Esau, he's so hungry, and we could give him the benefit of the doubt and say if he doesn't eat right in that moment, he's going to die, maybe. But he's so hungry that his judgment, he can't see anything other than the appetite he has for that food right there. And it clouds his ability to value anything. So there's no sense of the value of his birthright, not the monetary value only, because it isn't just about the monetary value. There is tradition and so much more wrapped up in this birthright. And he, because of his appetite, he can't calculate the value well. Siblings are bad at this anyway. I remember, and I've told this story before, once my mom bought my sister a snow cone for like a quarter, and I asked her for a lick of the snow cone, and guess how much she asked me to give her to get one lick? A quarter. Like, you don't understand the value of what's going on here. Kids are horrible at that. They're horrible at that. Well, these two, or Esau in this case, he cannot see clearly to value this the way he ought to. And so he argues himself into, you know, it's better to be a poor living man than a dead rich man. So I'm just going to, he talks himself into just selling his birthright for this stew. And Jacob gives him the stew, accepts his birthright, throws in a loaf of bread just because he's a generous guy, right? Think about this. What's the blessing here? As we go through this story, there's three levels of blessing we're going to see. There's the birthright, which is this inheritance, but there's also this taking on the family name. And then there's God's blessing. Remember, these are the descendants of Abraham. God made a promise to bless the world through Abraham and his descendants. These are the ones who are supposed to carry on, not just their father Isaac's name, but the blessing that God promised to do. So when Esau gets rid of the birthright, he's also turning his back on not just the money, but also his father's name and intentions for him, but also he's putting in jeopardy God's covenant blessing. That's what's going on here. That's why this is so heavy and so important. These are Abraham's grandchildren. God wants to bless the world through them. And their stupidness, which is our stupidness, jeopardizes everything. So let's look at the two mistakes. Esau's mistake is this. The narrator makes it clear for us. He says, Esau despised his birthright. That word despised isn't just that he's like, oh, I hate that. He devalued it is what that word means. He didn't esteem it to have the value that it had. He convinced himself his hunger was greater and more important, even that his life was more important than this birthright. So his immediate appetite clouded his ability to properly estimate the value of things. Life is full of that kind of stuff. Life is full of things you have appetite for. We have a culture that is built on tweaking your appetite everywhere you go. That's why ads pop up everywhere you go. You can't walk out of our doors without seeing an ad because there's a billboard over there and a billboard over there. Have you thought about that? You pick up your phone and go somewhere, guess what you're gonna see? An ad of some sort. Go online, an ad, watch TV, an ad. You pay extra to have ad-free TV, right? Because then we could just watch the shows. But there's still product placement in the shows. Everywhere you go, there are people trying to just get your appetite going because they know you're gonna pursue it. You're gonna go after it. Life is full of these little appetite teasers trying to draw us out. One of my professors, Haddon Robinson, liked to say, don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. This is what our culture is built on. This is what a credit card society is built on. This is how so much of our life is built on. We sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. So you write your paper using ChatGPT instead of doing the work yourself, and you get the blessing of a good grade, maybe even a better grade than you'd got if you'd done it on your own. But you lose out on God's blessing because you cheated and lied. Or, you know, the person who commits adultery, they're choosing the blessing of the forbidden pleasure, but guess what? You're giving up the God's blessing because you're not living like God. The person who jumps at the blessing of a promotion, even though it means they're gonna spend all their waking hours on work and have to sacrifice time with family, time with church family, time for what God wants them to do in their life, they're getting one blessing, but they're sacrificing God's blessing. Don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. If you step back and look at your life today, do you value God's blessing appropriately? Do you value God's calling to be a blessing to this world? He wants to bless the world through you. Do you value God's calling, his purpose for you to be like him? Do you value that, or do you see it as, it's impossible, and there's too many other things I'd like to do that get in the way? So we'll spend hours at night watching TV or scrolling on your phone because they know how to trickle the little things out there to get your dopamine going. That's what all that is. It's just, look, a new thing I found. Ooh, a new thing I found. Swipe, scroll. A new thing I found. Flick the channels. A new thing I found. And each time that happens, you feel like, oh, something good is happening. And you become numb. And we spend our lives doing that, all the while missing out on a relationship with the God who created us. Because we'll spend hours and hours on that other stuff, but give up the blessing of time with God, worshiping him, reading his word, praying, letting him speak to us encounter him. When we don't value the blessing of God's calling and God's purpose, we trade it for cheap stuff. That's one reason why you don't have God's blessing in your life right now. You're trading it for cheap stuff. But then we get Jacob's mistake, which we all make too. If Esau decided the bowl of stew was more valuable than the blessing, Jacob decided that the blessing of the birthright was worth more than his relationship with his brother. His response to his brother's hunger should have been to feed him and care for him, but instead, it was to abuse him, to take advantage of him, to step on him. Jacob was chasing the blessing of money. He wasn't concerned about carrying on his family's calling and purpose that God had. If I want, give me the lot of stuff, but not God. That's what Jacob wanted to do. Everyone is out there chasing blessings. Some people are chasing it through lottery. Some people are chasing it through hard work. Others are chasing blessings, hoping it'll pay off. But you're just chasing blessings. And when you overvalue the wrong, and misuse each other. So you start lying to your clients. You start neglecting your children, your spouse, your church family. You start ignoring God because you're overvaluing the wrong stuff and you're gonna do whatever it takes to get it. Doesn't matter what. Doesn't matter what you spend on it. You're gonna get that thing. And you don't go after God. When we value cheap stuff over God's blessing, it makes it easy to mistreat others and abuse others. That's why your life is a tangled mess sometimes. It's because that's what's happening. That's what's going on. That's what you're doing. Think about, what are the blessings you're chasing? What are the blessings you're running after right now? And more importantly, how are you going after them? Are you going after them in a way where someone would look at your life and say, wow, that's a person who's very godly. They're like God. Or are you sacrificing and cutting corners on being like God to get this other thing you want to have? Think of all the ways we make these two mistakes, because we all do this. We all make these two mistakes. They are the reason why we are not blessed and don't have this blessing Jesus talked about. That's why you're not in a good place with God, because you're not valuing God's blessing and you're valuing other things over God's blessing. And it's making a tangled knot out of your life. That's what you're feeling. God's blessing, to be clear, God's blessing is that we have everything we need to become who he made us to be and do what he created us to do, to become like him and to bless the world around us. That's God's blessing. That's the blessing to pursue. But here we are with our tangled webs that we've made. What do we do in the meantime with the tangle, the knots that we've created because of all the mistakes we've made, the Jacob mistakes, the Esau mistakes? What do we do with all this? The next several weeks, we're going to be looking at Jacob's life and the tangled web he made. And we're going to learn just how tangled our lives get when we get God's blessing wrong. But we're also going to learn, that God is persistent to bless where he has promised to bless. Because instead of looking at our failures and saying, oh my gosh, look what you did to this table. Oh my gosh, look what you did to the blanket. Look at the mess you made of your life and your family and all that. Look at the tangles. How will that ever get out? I'm going to tell a story. Can I tell a Christina story? All right, you're all in trouble if she gets mad at me because you said yes. When she was a young girl, she was at a sleepover with her friends and they decided, let's all brush each other's hair. And they started to brush her hair and they couldn't. Because for about a year, when she went to brush her hair at night, she just did this for a long time, but never did this, never did the back. So for like a year, she didn't brush the back and her hair became a tangled mess. Some of you, your lives, boy, I hope I don't get in trouble for sharing that story. She was a little girl. Oh, what a tangled web we weave, right? Some of you, when you step back and think about this, you realize I have created a tangled mess that I can't do anything about. I'm just gonna have to chop it all off. This morning, you need to appreciate that God, instead of saying, this is why you can't have nice things, forget it, he inserted himself into the tangled mess. Jesus went through the same temptations. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan? What were the temptations? Hey, Jesus, will you value all these other things, all the riches of the world over God's blessing or what? And what did Jesus do? He resisted that temptation and he valued God's blessing. Hey, Jesus, will you abuse people to get what you need? Will you take advantage? No, I'm gonna sacrifice myself in order to be a blessing to this world. Jesus did what Jacob and Esau failed to do. He did what you and I failed to do. Jesus allowed himself to be tied up in knots so that we could be set free, so that he could set us free from the tangles. He dove into the knot and he's untying it and making it lead us toward his blessings. When you put your faith in Jesus, there is no more condemnation over your failure. So you may feel miserable right now as you look back and say, yep, this is what I've done in my life. But the Bible tells us that when we are in Jesus, we put our faith and trust in him, there is no more condemnation any longer. Instead, Jesus puts the Holy Spirit in us to begin to help us work with him to untangle so that we can become like him, so that we can become a blessing to this world. That's what happens. And you may wonder, well, how, you know, you don't know how tangled my life is. And that's why I love Christmas so much. You remember the song, Joy to the World? There's one verse in that song that talks about this. You know, how far can blessing go in our lives? Does he know how deep the tangles go? And there's those lyrics in that song that says, he comes to make his blessings flow. How far? Far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. As far as the curse is found. God pours out his blessing until it reaches every crevice of your life. And he begins to straighten out all those tangles and knots and create a straight line to him. You're here this morning, or you're watching or listening to this whenever you're listening to it, because God wants you to understand what his blessing is. And God wants to untangle the tangle of your life. God wants you to see and to step back and think about, God, where am I not valuing your blessing enough? God wants you to ask that question this morning and be honest. And God wants you to ask the question, God, what are the things I'm valuing too much and I'm going after them the wrong way? He wants you to ask those questions because you can get all those things. There's a lot of nice stuff in this world, a lot of really cool things, and you can get them and you'll feel nice, you'll feel blessed. But what are they without God's blessing of being who he made you to be, of becoming like him, of being right with him? What are they without that? They are dust. They will die, they will wither, either slowly as you get older or suddenly when you die. They're nothing without the blessing of God's presence. Worship team, would you come back? We're gonna sing this song about God's blessing. And the song goes, the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you. What does that mean? May God turn to you and smile because he recognizes that you're his son, you're his daughter. Because he recognizes that, yes, you're becoming like me. Yes, you're living like me. You're doing the things I did. Yes, you're being a blessing to this world. You're letting me bless the world through you. That's when God turns and his face shines. Why would his face shine? Because he sees, there's my son, there's my daughter. That's our prayer, for God's presence to go before you and be behind you and around you, surrounding you, leading you through this life. So would you stand with us? And as we sing this song, I want you to think about God's blessing. He will give you everything you need to become who he made you to be, like him, to do what he made you to do, be a blessing to this world. God will give you everything you need. You have everything you need. All that other stuff you're worried about today, let it go. Don't overvalue it and let it make you anxious. Let it go. The other stuff you've been chasing after the wrong way and you've been stepping on people, repent, stop it, and then let it go.